Amen. I want us to bless Brian. He has an awesome testimony. His life is a testimony. He's one of those guys that was a hard shell to crack. And he was just sharing with us last night, again, his story about how there was a Christian, a believer, that had the ability to value him as a person for 5 years, a duration of 5 years. Yep. And Brian was like full on, what were you then? Nastiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
rough package. Yeah. And the point was is that he valued him and listened and didn't argue. I mean, whoever this guy was, stayed very Christian, but he always just allowed Brian to talk and express. And when Brian came to the day, it took 5 years that he was ready to cry out to the Lord. He knew who to call and where to look, and he was ready. And it's just so important for us to keep this in our face, that everyone comes to their decision for Christ in different ways. And now Brian is truly like fulfilling a need in an area. And as a sound engineer in what he does, it's a true ministry. It's an unsung ministry, but it's a true ministry that brings peace to. And he's been traveling. Where was it that you went clear to?
Bismarck, North Dakota.
That he got the contract to do a Christian concert. Was it a gathering thing, like a ecumenical?
It's called Reach the City, and it's where all the area churches get together, and they got the governor of North Dakota,
yeah,
and the mayor and the sheriff and everybody on board to just pray for the city. So they made a conference of it. So they would have a worship team play 3 songs and then 5 minutes of prayer.
Yeah.
And each, you know, in between each set, it would just be 5 minutes of prayer dedicated to the state, to the city, to,
yeah, awesome,
whatever needed prayer at that moment.
How big was the event?
It was 1,200 people.
1,200 people, so.
It was a sold-out theater, so.
He did the event. Like, he took his stuff out and did it. And he's been getting to do a lot of other things. And then his training is so good. Brian Johnson himself said that Bethel Music is what Bethel Music is. You know, the I Ching or whatever. Like, they've accomplished and identified real valuable things in worship. And Brian Johnson says this, like, the unsung hero in our whole ministry are the sound guys. Like, if they aren't in play and they're not doing their job and they're not good, and he says, we actually have the best, he said, we're not good. Like, we are what we are as far as what you hear and what you appreciate because of what the wisdom they have and what they do. So let's extend our hands to Brian, because this is a real valid ministry. And I mean, I've searched a long time for someone to hook up with that would help. And when he is, from the day he came into our lives, it's been a real blessing, real answer to prayer. So Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask that you will multiply blessing and fruitfulness on Brian's life, that he will have all provision, that you will open doors. Father, this is not out of a need, but it is out of a destiny. I want to see him hit his destiny, hit his mark. I want his family to be blessed, his wife, his daughter, his son. I want them to live in abundance and have the care. I ask that you continue to give him grace as he walks in being a new man, a new creation. Just ask that you cover him with grace on the top, on the bottom, on the sides, in the front, on the back. Just cover him and give him favor with God and with men. I believe that he has that. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. I have been on a journey here, and Kurt actually texted me and said, "Hey, I'm praying for you today that you're preaching, and you know, and just you know, coming up front, coming there every day, and bringing what you do." And actually, I really appreciate it. I don't talk much about it, but I've been in a real struggle recently in this transition, and that's okay. Struggles are okay. We like to avoid them when we can, but struggles are okay. I've been in a struggle to identify the message and the emphasis that I'm to have And I had kind of an earthquake inside of me over the last this last season of time. And it has run parallel with the presidential election and those things and revelations that came and a real shaking type of shift happened, because as a messenger from the Lord, I want to be very clear about the message. I'm not the one that gives the message. I'm the one that gets the message and gives the message. And this, I'm the postman. And I'm very concerned as I feel the adjustment. I feel the shift inside of me, and that's good. I hope I keep shifting and shaking till I leave the planet momentarily. And then I read the back of the book. Heaven's coming here. I hope y'all understand that. Do you know that? The end game, get to the back of your book. Read the last couple chapters and see where it actually ends up. It's very exciting. I encourage you. You don't have to be smart to read it. Just read. Just kind of let go of all the stuff and just read. It's amazing. Just read and dream. I think it's a good thing. Just take that last two chapters, three chapters, whatever. Don't figure everything out. Just read. Enjoy. And it's not that difficult. And there's an excitement if you'll just read. You will see at the right time a new heaven and a new earth. The sea is no more, but it's not called heaven, it's called earth. And the tabernacle, the New Jerusalem, comes down, and there's this proclamation: God is finally among men. This has been his heart's desire from the beginning, to dwell with us. We're not the easiest creatures to dwell with, in case you haven't noticed. We bite. We scratch. We stink. He shows kindness, we show violence. We've not been the greatest. At last he gets to dwell among us, God, here in this new Jerusalem, in this city. And there's no need for a sun, and there's no need for a moon, because he's the light. Read and dream, and don't click off your brain. Just put it over here. Just read and dream and believe. That's a good ending to the story. I like that ending. And I want to be in the good place in the good ending. And I have observed this escalation of lawlessness that's in our land, and observed, made observation, and it caused a shift in me. To have an answer, because we're living in a culture that is redefining everything. The front cover of National Geographic, what the heck this has to do with what they're normally supposed to cover, that came out in the middle of December for the January issue, was a picture of a young transgender, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, whatever. And this is, have you seen how much it's coming? It's coming, 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 coming. It's on the front pages. It's all over. And it challenges us to define. And where do we get definitions for what is sexuality and what is male and what is female? And I've talked about watershed. A watershed is kind of an awesome geographical feature. It is the point, and sometimes you can see signs on the highways as you're going, and there are names for these watersheds. And from this point, the water goes this way to that river and ends up in the Mississippi and down to the Gulf of Mexico. Or from this point, it goes north, goes this way or that way. And watersheds are their dividing place where things go this way. And we're at this kind of like watershed moment where we need to define, things need to be defined. And it caused me to ask again, how do we define these things in this culture? And how do we identify where you stand? And I saw and realized, I was reading a book by Lance Wallnau, that the differentiation is between two people. One person believes that there's a creator and that I am the created, and another person does not believe in that there is a creator and that we are gods unto ourselves. Now, that's not a criticism. That's an observation. That's a factual, that is a good way to qualify. And so it's not about religions or any of those things. It's not about political parties. It's about what is their belief system? What's their core belief? And so I will die for this. I believe in a creator. I believe I am the created. And I believe that he has expressed himself clearly. What we call our Bibles, that he has one son, that he sent him, he identified him, he has authenticated his God's reality. God has authenticated himself throughout what we know as the Old Testament, and it is documented history. Noah's Ark is not just a fable. You understand that. Do you understand that the pictures, the hieroglyphics of a man and an ark, a man and his family and an ark, show up in all kinds of civilizations? They show up all over the planet. The whole planet has authenticated there was an ark and a flood. They have. That's proven. That's facts. And the deeper true science goes, the more it authenticates the reality of a creator. As I shared at the beginning of worship, this is the only planet that I know of where there's sound. How unique. I mean, I hope I never look at the privilege of making sound again. Maybe it's no wonder demons want to possess men. What would be the greatest torment? I mean, actually, think about it. Some of us are like, give me some peace and quiet. But you're not talking about the absence of sound. Because the absence of sound would be the definition of insanity, I think. Do you understand how quickly you'd fall apart if there was just absolute silence? And you couldn't even make a sound. Wow. That's right next to absolute darkness. I don't know what the period of time is, but you can actually cause a person to lose their sanity putting them in absolute darkness and just keeping them in that for us. It's not very long. Someone may know that fact. It's not very long, and they, ooh, you fall apart. You don't do well. I believe there's a God. I believe that he's expressed himself. That's my, and I have a story about my life. The story of my life is about discovering that. And what I believe and why I believe it, and everything changes. So we look at this culture we're living in, and just to use the references it shows up in Proverbs 21:2, Judges 17:6, and Judges 21:25. In those days, every man did what was right in his own eyes. In those days, every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that is ugly. That's scary. You want freedom? Like, what happens when everyone does what's right in their own eyes? So there was this absence of the rules, this release of the restriction. But here's what I've been battling over, struggling over. How do I believe all of us have to take the responsibility of the value of our voice and the value of the message that you carry. It's very important. I don't care if you live next to a cornfield, near a woods, on a township road. It's not about where you are, what your name is, or how much money you have. Your creation, You're a creature. You're a disciple. You've chosen. You understand. You have revelation, and your voice matters, and you need to raise your voice. You need to speak. You need to break your silence. You need to be. You just need to be. Be. Live. Be. Find out who you are. Find out who you are supposed to be and be. And so what is the answer? And this was, do we need more law? And somehow I know we're under grace, and I've been looking at this and I've just struggled within myself. How do I present this? How do you deal with lawlessness? And how do you, like, and I use the examples of our roads and driving and all of that. And technically there's some peace out there on the highways if we'll all just obey the laws. We don't run into each other normally. We don't, you know, cause accidents. And even in that, with all the laws, there's still a need for grace. I'd much rather encounter another driver that's driving under grace, which is not less law, but actually a greater law that has forbearance and yielding, so that if I do make a mistake, I've made a few mistakes out on the road. I have. I pulled out when I shouldn't have. I stopped too fast when I shouldn't have. I've done this. I've done that. I forgot to signal. I've made mistakes. And the other drivers on the road will signal that to me. You know, like, you know, it's when they push that button in the center of their steering wheel and say, God bless you. Grace is not a less standard. It's not the absence of it's something that's up, and it's challenging to talk about this without reinstituting the law. But I will say this. I actually think that some of you are still under it. And here's the proof of whether you're still under law rather than under grace. And that is that if you're always justifying what you do and always giving reasons for what you do, you're probably under law. And that in grace, you see what's wrong and you just go, whoops, that's wrong. I don't want to do that anymore. Don't make excuses. You don't blame people. You just go, oh, my bad. I don't know. What was I thinking? I don't want to do that anymore. Jesus, help me. The law can just give restraints and do's and don'ts, but grace gives enablement and power. So we want to promote grace. And we looked in Romans 8 and we saw all of creation is groaning. Groaning for what? The sons and daughters, for the sons of men that decide for us to come and become manifest sons and daughters of God. Creation's groaning. Why? Because that's when the peace comes. The whole planet will rejoice over us coming into our place, because we use but don't abuse, because we care, because we treat each other, we love each other, we treat, we whatever. Do you understand that if the church will become what the church is supposed to be, we have the answers for the world. We are the answer for the world. That was the intention. Jesus was sent to be our answer, and we were sent. We have a sending, a go ye. Why? Because we're an answer. Gandhi himself said this: if the Christians of the world would just listen to the Beatitudes, just not listen to them, just do the Beatitudes, they would win the whole world. That's what Gandhi said. My bad. Our bad. He said, listen, you guys have the message that will change the world if you would just live it. That's very convicting. The next time you go to complain about anything out there, just realize it exists because we didn't manifest. And there's a glory to come when we're in a moment in a twinkling of an eye that we are transformed, but it's actually not to go away. It's to be here, I'm telling you. Start getting that in your head. Whatever the sequence of events are, still baffles me completely. However, there are a couple facts that I'm very certain of. That transformation is very certain. Where we end up is very certain, very clear to me.
And all of creation is groaning for us to come alive and to be fully who we are. And we will bring the chain, we'll bring the heaven. Do you understand what we carry? We carry the answers. If we can become that ourselves, full of life, full of joy, forgiveness. And Jesus comes along and he catches his own people. He was really rough on the shepherds of Israel. He was tough on them. He busted their whatever, fill in the blank. He busted them back because they weren't watching over his people. They become self-centered in their ministry. They weren't doing their job. He's like, you dudes, you're fired, man. You know, there's the prophets. I think it's Ezekiel 34, Jeremiah, I forget. Yeah, I think. I mean, he lays them out. You're fired. He does the Donald Trump on them. You're fired. I'll be their shepherd. What is that? It shows the heart of a father. It's because, no, this is not what it's supposed to look like. You're a shepherd over the people, not so that you can abuse them and get fat while they are in lack. You're a shepherd of the people, so you lay down your life so they can live. That's from the top. That's from the top. That's his heart. If we had that heart, and we go into the world with that, do you understand what we have? Jesus comes back and he just starts. He starts quoting the law, and then he says, and he realizes they were just using the law. Having the law, they were using the law to justify a lot of bad behavior. I shared this last week. I saw a documentary on this really sums it up in our current day of men, typically from America or England, maybe those kind of countries, going to Asian countries where I know at my first trip or at some point when I was in India. You open up the newspaper. You know how we have the wanted ads and all these different sections of the newspaper? Well, one of the big parts of the newspapers in Asian countries is ads for describing the daughter that they want to give in marriage. And they list the amount of dowry that's there, and they list the woman's skills. And I mean, it's like freaky weird for a Westerner to see this. I mean, for us and our mindset, we're like, this is just shy of selling your daughter. Here she is, long black hair, you know, she's this, she's that, she's somewhat educated, she's this, she's that, you know, and here's the dowry that goes with her. Call such and such a number. I mean, it's like that. I'm not exaggerating too much. It's like that. You go, whoa, this is like, you know. And so these English men, these American men go and they get a dowry for marrying these women. And then maybe within 6 months, a year or two at the most, they just dispose of them. They just ditch them. Gotten the dowry, they live with them for a while, and they leave them. And they leave these women a horrible position in a horrible place because in their culture, once they're married, they don't get to get married again. Once they're married, shame comes on their whole family, and the families put up a dowry for them that costs them is some significant amount of money. And they're out of everything. They have a daughter that they have to now support, cannot get a job because she's damaged goods, cannot provide for herself, you know, unless she goes into prostitution or something wonderful like that. It's a mess. And I was watching this documentary. They're like, there've got to be laws where we can go after these guys, even though they're in another country. And I'm like, oh yeah, baby, that now there, go after that. Jesus came back and he goes, you guys, you say we have a certificate of divorce. Like, we're good, we're good. Moses said we could give a certificate of divorce. I don't like this woman anymore. She makes me pick up my clothes. I've had it. She's on my case because I came home late. Whatever. She burned supper again. I'm done with her. They weren't valid reasons, in other words. They were ridiculous reasons. And when they would give them a certificate of divorce, they destroyed this woman. And so you have this saying. Jesus says, you cause her to commit adultery. You put her in this horrible situation, and how do you do all this, and what are you framing in? I'm keeping the law. Great. Nice. And he just goes down. Bam, 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 bam. Brings up the law. He says, here's what I say. It's not here. It's here. You say, oh, I didn't commit adultery. I just lusted after her. But it's fair. You know, eye candy. I've heard Christians use that term. It sickens me. Knock it off. Don't boast in that. Jesus said, that's just the same thing. There's no difference. Applies this to judging, applies this to everything. What's the standard of the kingdom, this kingdom standard? It's higher than that. It's more than keeping laws doesn't work. Having laws doesn't work. This is what I need to get to. It has some value of showing us what we are, what we're made of, but it doesn't have value. It does not enable you or empower you. And I've shared recently, I've watched quite a bit of C-SPAN and different clips out of C-SPAN. And it disturbs you. I literally have to be careful watching too much of that. Because when people, good men that are trying to expose things and challenge bad behavior with some of our Congress and elected officials, and they're dealing with situations, and they bring them, and they have these hearings, and you watch this, and you can't get straight answers out of everybody because the law has become so complex in our country that it started out being a good thing, but it's become so complex. And you have these lawyers answering these kind of questions. They're all lawyers. They won't give a straight answer for nothing. You can't beat them with a stick to get them to answer anything. It makes you watch this go, what? Did you do this, yes or no? Well, blah, blah, blah. No, answer me, yes or no. Well, according to, this is insane. That's what Jesus came back to. God's people with the law. And he said the same thing. This is insane. What have you done? You're using the very thing that was given you as a guide, that was given to protect people, that was given to keep you on the straight and narrow. But you're using that same thing to justify your sin. People, we are under grace. We are not under law. Do you understand what kind of privilege this is? Do you understand what we've been given access to? How do we become righteous? We believe. That's a ridiculous deal. It's like going to the car lot and going, hey, I want a car. Well, do you believe you can? Do you see yourself, envision seeing yourself in that new car? Yeah, I can. Then it's yours. No payments. I like that. I bet you guys can move a lot of vehicles that way. You get something that costs more than what you have for free by believing. That's grace. That's righteousness. That's how God gives you righteousness. A passage out of the Passion Translation in chapter 3 of Romans, in verse 19. Now, we realize that everything the law says is addressed to those who are under its authority. This is for two reasons. Number one, so that every excuse will be silenced and no boasting of innocence. So the law was given. It had a value. It's to shut us up. Just shut up. When you come before the throne, I'm going to tell you right now, just shut up. Just don't talk. That's the best thing. Just. Number two. And so that the entire world will be held accountable to God's standards. For by the merit of observing the law, no one earns the status of being declared righteous before God. You can't keep it enough. And if you look, and as you look, and over the years that I've looked, grace is in the Old Testament. It's there. It's been there. It's been God's heart since the beginning. He's a pushover. I'm telling you, he is. Look at Ezekiel 18. I mean, that's Old Testament. Don't say this in Israel anymore. Just because the father sins, that the son sins too. Just because the father eats sour grapes, that the son eats sour grapes. Like, you know, puckers up, like has the result. Don't say that anymore. If a man sins and he repents and changes, I don't want anybody to die. If a father is sinful and is a lawbreaker, but the son says, I don't want to be like that, he lives. He doesn't have to live under that. This is God. It's always been his heart. It's always been his heart. Why would on any given day we even remotely go back to it? Every time in your mind that you're back in the courtroom justifying what you did, what you said, why you did it, you're under the law. You're back in. Why would you do that? It's a miserable way to live, and it's killing you. Stop it. Who are you trying to impress? Jesus said, listen, do this. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. It's very simple. But no. Just yes or no. Because all that blah, blah, blah you do, it just gets you in trouble. Be amazed how simple life gets if you just go, hey, do you want to do this? No. Hey, how about this? Yes. All right. How often every day do you explain yourself? You're caught in the rhetoric of justification, and you're gonna lose. You're gonna lose. Listen, we have a mandate until it's over, whatever that looks like. We have a mandate to not only become the people of God, but to disciple nations. That Psalms 2, it's there. It's always been there. Jesus loves nations. 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 I'm just messing the world. Let's be clear, except for prophetic things coming to pass. A lot of people that should have known better have created a lot of messes. That's my summary. A lot of people, our country, us as Christians, a lot of people that should have known better have created a lot of messes. And pretty much most of what you think is a fact was not. We have a calling. We have a discernment. We're able to, you know, judging as in sentencing or condemning is illegal, but there's another kind of judging where we discern what is truth and what is not. And we need to get very good at that. We need to get good at our discernment, discerning things, discerning truth. We should not have been duped as much as we have been. Awaken, come alive. Let your eyes come alive. The world is hungry for this. We have a grace that liberates men. Our message is grace. Our message is love. Our message is forgiveness. Do you understand? What's all that conflict about in the world? Actually, let's get it simple. What's that about? That's about offense and unforgiveness. Does that pretty much cover it? Think about it. That's about offense, unforgiveness. That's about anger being unchecked. That's about vengeance. Is it any more than that? You put your toe across my boundary line, I'm going to shoot you with a gun. You violated this, I'm going to violate that. It's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Which is very quickly going to leave the whole world blind and toothless. Funny, but exactly. Where does it end? I'm going to shoot you. Well, I'm going to shoot you. Well, I'm going to really shoot you. Well, I'm going to really, really shoot you. Who's got the bigger shoot? And we're right here in the mess of this, in the middle of the mess, called to disciple nations. I'll quote this again. I think it was Bill Johnson. If you don't fight the war you were born to fight, you'll fight the war you don't have grace to fight. If you don't show up for the thing that you were made to live for and fight for, you'll find yourself in the fight that you don't want to have. What we carry is powerful. And we need to come to a revelation of that. How are we going to get awakened to it? In our package, you ever go to a conference or something and get a package? Here's what's happening at this conference. You go somewhere, here's your package. Here's what belongs to you. If you've ever traveled overseas and you get your visa and your passport, and you get all those things in order and your documentation of your immunizations, and you have a packet, and like you guard that for dear life if you travel outside the United States, like, because you don't want to be caught without your stuff. We've been given that from heaven. You've got credentials, like, get it out. Read it. Look at it. See who you really are. Here's the travesty. Here's what needs to grieve us. That there are areas we haven't overcome in and we should have. That there's still addiction. Many people are contending for this. Like, where's the power to break through addictions? This isn't about condemnation and condemning people. This is about where's the power? Because we have a greater promise. Where's the release of the healing ministry? Because people are still sick and dying around us. It doesn't add up. So when it doesn't add up, let's not give up and give in, but say no. No, we have to contend for some things. No, that's not how it's supposed to be. This is wrong. When I pray, there's supposed to be a response, a good one, a healing one, a wholeness one, a miracle one, a transformation one. When I love, there's supposed to be good results. There's a multiplication. When I sow this seed, doesn't matter how small or small. It doesn't matter how non-public it is. Do you understand how inundated you've been up here about things having to be public and known? Celebrity status or doesn't count? You've been duped, man. You've been brainwashed. We have value for these things. Now we have celebrities walking around with a lot of clout. And man, they don't have substance. And you go, whoa, phew. I didn't realize that was under the package. You're a great actor, and I like watching you act. But now that I hear you talk, whoa. I'm not sure I care to see your movies anymore. That's vile. That's nasty. There's this point where we go, whoa, 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 I'm compromising way too much. Where's the truth? Where's the light? Where's the honoring? Whatsoever things are good and pure and of good report. We have this vast resource to tap into. And wow, it's like really good. There was another scripture, chapter 6, that I wanted to read, and yes. And Romans chapter 6, Remember this, sin will not conquer you, for God already has. That works. Want to be conquered? Be conquered by the right thing. Not by the bad thing, but be conquered by the good thing, the good guy, God, okay? You're not governed by law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God. The world's hungry for this. They really are. They're buying the wrong product, but this is actually what they want. If I put the bad in this package in the wrapper, we all know we buy things according to the wrapper, right? It's getting harder now. You go to buy, there's no such thing as normal ketchup anymore. It's, you know, it's fat-free, diet-free, you know, non-red, right? I don't know. Everything you go to buy, you got to like read the fine print to make sure you get the right thing. There's 25 varieties of what used to be normal. There aren't normal crackers anymore. They're this, they're that, they're, you know, you come home and you go, ah, man, Bob, you know. What are we to do then? Should we sin to our heart's content since there's no law to condemn us anymore? What a terrible thought. So grace eliminates us from the power of the law, but we're confused because right away we have people saying they're in grace and they're licentious. They have a license to sin. There's giving expression to sin and to every evil thing, calling that grace, like, whoa, that's no, you're missing the whole point. This true grace finally gives us the ability to be the people of God and to live righteous, to be free from sin. Don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master, but choose carefully? For you surrender yourself to become a servant, bound to the one you choose to obey. Kind of lays it out pretty simple, doesn't it? Bound to the one that you choose to obey. So it's the old, remember the one Indiana Jones movie, you know, when they're on the search for the Holy Grail, you know, and this old crusty knight that's a couple hundred years old, you know, it's a movie. They finally get into the cavern, the chamber where all the grails are, and he looks at them and he says, "Choose wisely." And then someone chooses the wrong one and drinks out of it and dies some kind of horrible death. He's standing there going, you know, like, bad choice. That's an understatement. Don't want to drink out of the wrong cup, but choose carefully, for you surrender yourself to become a servant, bound to the one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master. This is how this works. You become the servant of the one you obey. You become the servant of what you obey. This is great motivation. And it will own you and reward you with death. But... if you choose to love and obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness. Folks, we've got a great message from a great message sender. This is a great message. This is a great word. And if that will become manifest in us, we truly have something offered to every man, every woman, every child. We owe them an encounter. I recently had a dream, and Bill Johnson was in my dream, and it was just a setting, a church setting, kind of a small, casual, and I was in the back. I wasn't up front. And Bill Johnson was standing, and I see him, like he has his back to me, and of all the things, Bill Johnson, but he represents something to me, like, and so he just calmly reaches over and starts ministering to someone so that they receive the presence of the Lord. This is all he does, and I'm watching him do that. Like, it's a situation where there's stuff to do, and there's thing, and here's what he's doing. He just prays, and I see the manifest presence come on this man that he's praying for. And I can tell that he's feeling the presence of the Lord. And then Bill Johnson just kind of calmly walks back, and he kind of walks back this aisle. And he starts praying for this other person. He just, you know, just like puts his hand on his prayer, and he flips out his phone, and he calls a family. I know he's calling a family member and just kind of talking to someone as he's ministering, like he's just ministering the presence. Like, it's this simple. He does this in peace, and he's keeping connected with his covenant relationships. Like, I know exactly what he's doing. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not complicated. It's not theatrics. We owe them an encounter, because how do you change a culture without, if you can't use the law and the law's not working, and when they do have the law, they twist and turn and create it so that it's something that justifies their sin. You go, oh, that's not working. What do we have then to offer? We have grace. We have presence. We have encounter. What makes the difference when a person, what finally changes a person? When they encounter the Lord. That's what changes a person. We can throw all the laws and extra rules and extra benefits and extra whatever over, around, create, take care of them, welfare them, whatever. And does it change? No. It's not working. Why would we keep trying to do more of what doesn't work? What works? Seeing people encounter the person of Jesus. Coming to a revelation of who he really is, encountering him, feeling his presence, that changes it. That changes everything. Brian Jester makes this change. I'm telling you, from what he's described, if you met him before he came to Jesus, you, whoo, wow, whoa, 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 whoa. All the stuff that goes with that. And then he comes and he encounters Jesus. He has time, he begins to seek, he opens his heart, and he's not pretending to be a Christian. He's very free to just be, and he's genuine. What if we were all just genuine, even in our Christianity? Well, that'd be different. In other words, you don't have to put a facade on. The real thing is you don't act like you're a Christian. You're a different person. You've got something going on inside of you. You hear the sound of the drum for yourself. Now you're not just trying to watch the guy ahead of you, you know. Some of you, you know, have experience in marching bands. You all know what a normal marching band is. And the worst thing on the field is one of the kids that just cannot get the rhythm, can't get the thing, and they're trying to stay in step by watching the person ahead of them. Wrong. That just looks terrible. They can be technically right, but they're like totally wrong. You can feel it. They're like, you know, trying to force that thing. You know, and they're out in the back, you know, and they're like, you know, like, no, no. You gotta hear for yourself. You gotta know your place and know your part, and pretty soon you're bam, 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 bum. You're turning, you're twisting, you're moving, you're stopping. Because why? Because you hear for yourself. You can tell for yourself. You've encountered the cadence, the rhythm, the calling, his voice. There's a sound. We can make a sound. We can hear a sound. And we perceive the sound of his voice in our ear. Yeah, that's a good word. Let's pray. Father, Jesus' name, we want to encounter you. And we want to have the ability, I ask today, that we'll all be able to impart this encounter, that we will be ministers of the encounter, ministers of the person that we love and serve, that we don't come with more rules, that our confidence isn't in the rules, The thing that changes and transforms us is that we choose to follow the one we love. And we become a servant to love and a servant to life. I ask in Jesus' name that you grace us. I ask in Jesus' name that you transform us. I ask in Jesus' name that there be a manifest presence in us, that we're never the same. I ask in Jesus' name that we become the manifest sons and daughters of our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Be alive. I think there was an old advertisement about honey or something. Be alive, you know, like be alive. Be alive.